Cosby.
Online romance day.
I don't think anyone's going to like me off a dating app, Andy, if my husband got sucked up by aliens. I'm not going to be on the top of anyone's list unless they get to meet me, sit down, and go, okay, she can talk. Maybe she's a little funny. She's really caring. But to go on a head picture alone on an app, I don't think I'm many people's cup of tea.
Connect with Sarah Crosby. 2 till 6 weekday afternoons on QR Calgary. Brought to you by Verve Aspenwood's Retirement Home.
QR Calgary is 770 CHQR AM, a Chorus Entertainment radio station.
This is Global News. I'm Joshua Azizi. The Liberal caucus has voted down rules that would have strengthened the say of backbenchers in who should lead their party.
Many Liberal MPs still feel the shock and awe of former Prime Minister Justin Trudeau clinging to power for months, even as calls from within his party grew for him to step down before he finally did in January. But not enough of them felt this way to adopt new rules set out under the Reform Act that would prevent that from happening again by emboldening caucus members, allowing them to force a leadership review. Liberals were tight-lipped after their meeting. Caucus Chair James Maloney would only confirm that a majority voted against adopting the rules. Kyle Duggan, The Canadian Press, Ottawa.
Pierre Poilievre is signaling that the Liberals might have some conservative support when it comes to resolving Canada's trade war with the United States. The Conservative leader met with his caucus Sunday, a day before the House of Commons is set to return. He says he's willing to cooperate with the Liberals when it comes to reestablishing Canada's sovereignty and economic independence.
I've already told the Prime Minister that we are happy to cooperate any way we can to bring about an end to this unnecessary dispute and restore not just our sovereignty, but also tariff-free access to the most successful international trading arrangement in the world.
Poilievre is also accusing Prime Minister Mark Carney of putting his elbows down after tough talk around counter-tariffs during the election campaign. Meanwhile, King Charles will visit Canada Monday for the first time since his coronation. He will read the speech from the throne Tuesday, becoming the first monarch since 1977 to read the document. Russia and Ukraine completed the final round of their prisoner swap hours after Moscow launched a major aerial assault.
A rare moment of cooperation between Russia and Ukraine. As the third and final prisoner exchange that began Friday ended Sunday. In all, each country exchanged 1,000 prisoners, many of them soldiers, hours earlier. Ukraine's capital and other regions came under a massive Russian drone and missile attack that killed at least 12 people and injured dozens. Ukrainian officials said the attack hit more than 30 cities and villages, describing it as the largest aerial assault since Russia's full-scale invasion in February of 2022. I'm Julie Walker.
Talks between Canada Post and negotiators from its union are expected to resume over the next few days. The two parties met Sunday amid warnings of mail delivery delays tied to a national ban on overtime for postal workers. A statement this afternoon from the Canadian Union of Postal Workers says negotiators had worked hard to carefully evaluate Canada Post's latest offers and prepare responses. The union learned in the early afternoon Sunday that Canada Post had left the premises in order to review the documents from the union and would take a few days to get back to them. Monday marks 1 month since a man drove a vehicle into the crowd at Vancouver's Lapu-Lapu Day Festival, killing 11 people and injuring others. In New Westminster, an actor famous for his guest role on Seinfeld as the soup Nazi lifted up his ladle to raise money for the victims. Larry Thomas served soup at the Greens and Beans Deli Sunday, where he's visited many times in the past for similar fundraisers.
This feels great. I mean, it just feels like I'm doing something good, and who doesn't want to do that?
And yes, he said his iconic line.
Do you have any buns?
No soup for you!
Thomas's first fundraiser at the deli was 20 years ago, after the Indian Ocean tsunami. From the Global News Desk, I'm Joshua Azizi.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? All those nights when you've got no lights, the check is in the mail, and your little angel hung the cat up by its tail, and your third fiance didn't show.
Live across Canada, this is Conversations with Ben O'Hara Byrne.
Well, great to have you here. We've been talking a lot over the past bit about George Wendt, who played Norm Peterson on Cheers for 11 seasons, all 11 seasons, six nominations as Best Supporting Actor, or Emmy nominations for Best Supporting Actor in a comedy, and of course the theme song, the famous theme song. And I was thinking back to just how many Thursday nights I sat there with my dad back as a teenager, or younger teenager, watching Cheers on a Thursday night, and how important a show it was, and how integral Cliff and Norm and Cliff were to that show. His family says, of course, George Wendt passed away at the age of 76 on Tuesday. His family said he died peacefully at home in his sleep. And there have been a lot of people, including his fellow cast members, Rhea Perlman, of course, who played Carla Tartelli on Cheers, paying tribute to him as well. But there was a really nice package today from ABC. They went back to the bar in Boston, now called Cheers, was called something else before. And there was a tribute there to George Wendt as well. Here's what they had to say.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
This morning, the Boston bar that inspired Cheers is paying tribute to George Wendt, the actor who played Norm Peterson for 11 seasons.
Nice to meet you. What do you do, Norm?
I sit there.
A beer was placed at the end of the bar in his honor.
He came through here, and he's just a really nice guy. Kind of quiet, a little shy, which is surprising. But yeah, I was more than happy to sit at that bar and drink some beer.
Still pouring, Norm? That's funny. I was about to ask you the same thing.
His role as the self-deprecating bar regular would earn him six consecutive Emmy nominations. Wendt, also known for this iconic sketch on Saturday Night Live, poking fun at Chicago sports fans.
A team that is known as the Bears.
Last year, he reprised that role at a charity event alongside his nephew, actor Jason Sudeikis, and Kansas City Chiefs star Travis Kelce.
Guys,
yeah,
you're really pushing it.
Look who's losing it, just like he did in the Super Bowl.
Back in 1993, 93 million people tuned in for the series finale of Cheers.
You want to know what I love? Beer, Norm?
Yeah, have a quick one.
Ted Danson saying he is devastated by the loss of his friend, adding, "It is going to take me a long time to get used to this. I love you, Georgie."
Afternoon, everybody. No!
After the show wrapped, Wendt would go on to star on Broadway, but it was his iconic role sitting on that bar stool and his wisecracking one-liners so many will remember. Wendt's former co-star Rhea Perlman calling him the sweetest, kindest man I ever met. George Wendt was 76.
Yeah, brought me right back. A nice tribute to him as well. I didn't know this, but David Friend of the Toronto Star wrote an interesting piece today about Wendt's time in Canada. He showed up at a place called Bose, which is a microbrewery outside of Ottawa, once to help them launch. He just released a book on beer. He did some acting as well, some theater work in Canada. And of course, he had a pretty successful onstage career after he left TV. But we'll all remember him, of course, as Norm Peterson on Cheers. And as a tribute to him, there's all these things circulating on social media. One of them is 18 minutes of every entry where everyone yells Norm. I'm not going to play the full 18 minutes for you, but here's just a little slice. And these are from the very early shows when already he became established as sort of one of the key characters in this series. Have a listen.
Afternoon, everybody. Norm!
How you doing, Norm? What do you know?
Not enough. Afternoon, everybody.
Norm!
Norman.
Do you know?
I heard of that stuff. Better give me a tall one in case I like it. Afternoon, everybody.
Hey,
Norman.
How you doing, Norm?
Cut the small talk and give me a beer.
Afternoon,
everybody.
Hey, Norm.
Give me a beer with you.
How's life treating you, Norm?
I got just ran over its dog. Afternoon, everybody.
Oh.
Norman.
Gentlemen, start your taps. Afternoon, everybody.
Oh, no! How's life treating you, Norm?
He caught me in bed with his wife. Afternoon, everybody.
Oh, no!
Norman?
How's life, Norm?
Not for the squeamish, Coach.
And just to some of them there, I always forget now that he always said afternoon, everybody. I forgot he always used to show up there in the afternoon. But those one-liners as he came in, and the recognition of course, established him really as one of the heart and souls of that show. Joseph Dorowski is the co-author alongside Kate Dorowski of Cheers, A Cultural History, and he joins me now. Joe, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
It was, you know, it's amazing how many people have reacted to the death of George Wendt and the character Norm. I mean, it's 32 years since the show went off the air. In fact, 32 years to the day yesterday when we learned of George Wendt's passing. But what a remarkable impact he still has. It's hard to imagine many others who've had that big an impact with a role that wasn't a central role on that show.
Yeah, he was definitely one of the minor side characters, consistent, you know, always there from beginning to end of Cheers, but not the core of the show. But Cheers remains enough of a cultural touchstone that it's part of, like, being media literate or culturally literate to understand a Cheers reference when it shows up, because they still show up in so much of the media. And Norm is one of the indelible parts of Cheers. So with a show that's had that kind of impact and is still finding audiences today, he's, you know, such a beloved character that on the one hand, it's surprising how much of an outpouring is, but on the other, you can kind of start to understand it and process it very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly felt people felt like they'd sort of lost a buddy, right? Or like someone they'd had a beer with at a bar, even though few ever had. But he was that character, right? I think we've all known a few Norms over the years. Yeah, and it feels like you've lost a bit of a friend.
Yeah, definitely. Cheers was geared around making the show feel like a hangout that the audience was there with them and kind of watching the action go on. And Norm was part of, like, the, I guess, an alcoholic Greek chorus that would comment on a lot of the adventures that were happening. He wasn't always the center of the adventure. Usually it was not the center of the adventure, but he was there commenting on it. And, like, his asides, the way George Wendt would deliver them felt like, you know, a little aside to the audience. Like, we were there with him and inside on his commentary on the action, because we weren't, you know, part of the main storyline at all.
Right, but maybe just sitting a few tables away from his stool, right? I mean, you dove into the history of the show. Where did his character come from? Because I gather he came in for an audition for a smaller part and wound up with that part.
The character's idea came from Les Charles, who had worked as a bartender to help him get through college, I believe, is when he was working as a bartender. And he said there was a regular that would often come in and say, "I'm just having one beer tonight," and then be there the whole night. And so that kind of a bar regular that was a consistent presence was something that they felt they needed for the authenticity of a bar, you know, a show set in a bar. And it was drawn from the real life experience of one of the creators of the show. The character was originally going to be called George, but then when they cast George Wendt, they didn't want there to be any confusion, so they renamed the character Norm. I think Norm, there's something about that name that just works so perfectly for the cries of the whole bar whenever he enters, that they all yell out Norm. I think it sounds right. It sounds better than George, so I'm glad they made that change.
Yeah. Did you ever get a sense of how George Wendt adapted to being that character? Because at some point, and this is the beauty of a great character in a sitcom, is they become interchangeable. You can't tell whether George Wendt is playing himself or whether he's playing this character.
Yeah, it really is interesting. And like when you watch some of the very first couple episodes, you can tell they haven't quite nailed down who Norm is. In one of the very first episodes, they show him passed out at the end of the night, and they very quickly said, "You know what? That's not what we want. We don't want this show to feel like that. That these are, right, you know, the kinds of alcoholics who are passing out drunk at the end of the night." And there's also one episode when there's an attractive woman coming into the bar, and he runs around like very excited to see this very attractive woman, and he's very quickly going to shift into more of a, like, an asexual apathy as he sits there, right, at the end of the bar. And, you know, he's only going to live through Sam's adventures. When it comes to that, like, he's going to talk about his wife, Vera, but he's not going to be, like, pursuing any women or things like that as a character. And so there was a little bit feeling out early on as they tried to match the character to the actor that they had. But it's pretty quick that they find the right tone for George Wendt to be able to play who Norm becomes.
Yeah, he's sort of the savant at the end of the bar, right? That's the sort of a bit like the two old guys on the Muppets. That's what Cliff and Norm always reminded me of in a different way. Obviously, Cliff Clavin was a very important character in all this too, John Ratzenberger, because the two of them really played off each other in a way that made each of them much more memorable.
Yeah, there's a very different energy that they give. You know, Cliff Clavin has this kind of unearned self-confidence as he's going to deliver the line. And Norm just feels far more like accepting and beaten down. And he's not trying to prove anything to anyone. But it allows their interplay to you know, really deliver some great comedy for the audience. And they both have like such different voices and diction and style of delivery when they're saying their lines that something about the combination though makes both lines funnier.
Yeah, it's interesting to know too. I didn't know a ton about George Wendt, but of course he was a graduate of the Second City Group in Chicago where he grew up. I mean, he had real pedigree, and he went on to become, you know, went back and had a successful stage career after the TV career sort of came somewhat to an end. He was still doing Saturday Night Live and the odd movie here and there, but he had a real presence about him. And sometimes when you watch sitcoms, you don't really know where the actors come from. But in George Wendt's case, he certainly had cool pedigree for that kind of a role.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's like an assuredness to how he's going to play the role that it comes from his experience and that pedigree. Like, I think to be assigned a role that you're going to play for, you end up playing for more than a decade, that is kind of in terms of energy, like it's a lower energy level, and you're not being asked to be the star of the show. There's very few A-plot episodes for Norm. They happen occasionally throughout the run of Cheers just because there's 275 episodes. Of course, there's a Norm episode here or there.
Right.
But I think some actors might resist, you know, being assigned that kind of a role. But I think it's such a perfect match in how they were able, you know, how he was able to embrace the role, and also the real skill that he brought. I think it's also a kind of role that maybe someone else could not be as successful at. George Wendt really was a master of these one-line responses and yeah, you know, replies that the way that he delivers it just makes it funnier. Like, it's already a funny line, but his little offhandedness and sardonicness, it makes it sing when he says those replies.
Is there not a whole section of your book, but part of your book dedicated to those one-liners?
Not fully those one-liners, but there is a section where we dig into the Norm responses, because the writers of Cheers said that they became very difficult to write. Right. Like, everyone loved them, but once you start trying to write, you know, the 50th or the 60th one,
yeah,
it's kind of like, you know, have we written ourselves into a corner? And there's a writer named Ken Levine, who's a fantastic comedy writer and sitcom writer who has a long pedigree in American television. But he talked about that they pitched one episode where Frederick Crane, Frasier and Lilith's right. son, his first word would be Norm.
And I love that episode. Yeah.
Yes. But they said in order to make that work, they had to have Norm exit and enter many times during the episode. And every time everyone yelled Norm, and someone gave him the you know, the softball setup line, and George Wendt hits a home run in his delivery of Norm's comeback. But they said, like, we love the idea that Norm came in and out, and the child heard Norm's name so often that his first word was Norm. But when we actually had to write all of those one-liners, were like, what have we done to ourselves? Like, the plot there is perfect, but the granularity, the specificity of writing each one of those jokes became the hardest part of that episode for them.
I was going to say, I never imagined that for those comedy writers, one of the toughest gigs each and every week was to come up with a new one-liner for Norm. Joseph Dorofsky is with us this half hour. He is co-author of Cheers, A Cultural History. Of course, the show went off the air 32 years ago on Tuesday, and the very same day that we learned about the death, the passing of George Wendt, who played one of the series' most loved characters, Norm Peterson, for the whole 11-year run of Cheers. He passed away at the age of 76. So we're thinking back, remembering George Wendt, Norm, and the show itself. We'll continue to talk about the show's incredible enduring legacy 32 years later after this. Don't go away.
Hear the amazing stories of everyday Calgarians. Do amazing. Tune into True Calgarian on Connect with Sarah Crosby. Wednesdays in the 4 p.m. hour. True Calgarian is powered by Lone Star Mercedes. Driving luxury. Lone Star.
It is absolutely the right time to buy.
Whatever you do, do not buy.
These stocks are bound to double.
The value has been cut in half.
There's always a pattern.
There's going to be guaranteed returns. Yeah, if you're thinking
about buying, these stocks are bound. These stocks are bound.
When seemingly reliable sources say opposite things, who do you trust? Get trustworthy and unbiased investing information at checkfirst.ca. Brought to you by the Alberta Securities Commission.
The best high-concept sci-fi rigmarole in the universe is back.
Ah! What the hell? Oh, shit. How long was I out?
Close Airlock 7!
Rick put you in there for a reason, Speed.
Mom, justice! Get back here! This is for your own good!
Rick and Morty, new season, Sundays on Adult Swim. Stream on Stack TV.
Get your mouth round it.
Shoppers Foundation for Women's Health is challenging us all to ask, how many women have we lost because of a late diagnosis? How many women have been overlooked because so little research funding goes to women's health? How many women have felt unseen because they can't access proper care? Maybe even you. Health inequities are harming women. It's why we're working to improve access to equitable and inclusive care. It's time to make women's health visible. Get to know the facts at shoppersfoundation.ca.
Just like the boys of summer keep their gear in top shape, you can keep your stuff safe with Sentinel Storage.
Hit a home run with Sentinel Storage, official storage provider of the Toronto Blue Jays. Try 4 weeks free. Visit sentinelstorage.ca. Buy Canadian, store Canadian.
Calling all Canadian employers. Be entered for a chance to win $1,000 by completing a brief online survey. First Peoples Development Inc.'s Labor Market Information Project, funded by Employment and Social Development Canada, would also like to send you a $50 gift card for completing the survey. The survey collects information on your business profile, past hiring activity, and future hiring. Learn more about programs and initiatives and take the employer survey at fpdinc.ca.
Remember last summer's heat wave that had you wishing for refreshing air conditioning? Let Furnace Family by ATCO Home Services keep you cool this summer. Trust our expert techs and honest pricing to keep your home chilling when the summer is scorching. Ask about our best-selling Lennox models that offer optimal efficiency and cool, quiet comfort. Take advantage of Lennox's rebates up to $2,000 only for a limited time. You can count on Furnace Family by ATCO Home Services to do the job right and have your AC unit up and running in no time. The summer rush is coming. Don't wait. Visit FurnaceFamily.com to secure your spot today.
Hi, Andrew Schultz here. It's spring, or as I call it, Jiffy season, which means there's so much to do around my home. As if I don't have enough on my plate, my washing machine decided to quit mid-cycle. I opened the Jiffy app, and within seconds, I was paired with Mike, who showed up that day and had it fixed in no time. And when it comes to my spring to-do list, Jiffy is my go-to. Download the Jiffy app or sign up at JiffyOnDemand.com with the code QR25 for $25 off your first job. Jiffy, Canada's number one home maintenance app.
When news breaks, you'll hear it on QR Calgary First.
People may think it's just folks who are on fixed incomes or Social Security and social services payments. And folks may think it's just the unemployed. And really the story here is you as a Calgarian might just be surprised that your friend and neighbor is using the Calgary Food Bank today.
Breaking news, weather, and traffic. We've got it all on QR Calgary, 770 CHQR.
People like us never need to be told savoir faire and a tan gets you by. Dom Perignon, a May mare from a Rome, this we know from the time we're knee high. Girls wear pearls and a long white dress.
This is Conversations with Ben O'Hara Byrne.
Sammy, I didn't want to say this in front of the others, but you know what I think the most important thing in life is? It's love. You want to know what I love?
Beer, Norm?
Yeah, a quick one. You know, Sammy, I love that stool. If there's a heaven, I don't want to go there unless my stool is waiting for me. And I'll tell you what, even God better not be on it.
You wouldn't dare.
I don't think it matters what you love, Sammy. Could be a person, could be a thing. As long as you love it totally, completely, without judgment.
George Wendt playing Norm Peterson on what was the final episode of Cheers that aired 32 years ago on Tuesday, May 20th, 2025. That song you heard, by the way, was going to be a theme from Cheers. They ended up with Everybody Knows Your Name, which was a better pick, I think. But we're obviously talking about George Wendt, who passed away at the age of 76 on Tuesday, exactly 32 years after the show came to an end after 11 seasons. And in fact, that was the last dialogue in the last episode between Norm and Sam. Sam has a few more lines before he turns off the lights and closes Cheers for good. Joseph Dorowski is with us. Joe Dorowski, he's the co-author of a book called Cheers, a cultural history. We're looking back at its history. I suppose, I mean, now that what's been interesting is how much people have been talking about the show itself as well, not just Norm and George Wendt, but the show itself over the last 24 hours or so.
Yeah, the show is always going to have a piece or be a part of entertainment history. It did change in a lot of ways what audience expectations are for sitcoms, and it kind of rewrote some of the ideas and what's become generic tropes of the sitcom. Cheers is credited with like the Sam and Diane being the first will they, won't they, and now in a lot of ways that's an expectation when you start a sitcom. Like, okay, who's the characters that we're going to be wondering if they're going to get together? And Cheers was the first show that really did that, and so there's a long legacy that's going to come after Cheers. Besides the popularity of the show itself, how sitcoms are going to function is going to have to react to Cheers.
Yeah, it's fitting, of course, that George Wendt and Ted Danson had that last scene. That was sort of the last interaction in the bar in the last episode, if I remember correctly. And I was watching it again, or the end of it at least, last night. And it seems so fitting that that Norm would have sort of the last patron word in the bar.
Yeah, he is the most regular of the regulars, right? He is the one where, like, when you get the wide shot of the bar, it almost feels off if Norm isn't sitting at one of the end bar stools. I think Ted Danson called the character, like, the gravity of the bar. I mean, you feel like things are in the right place when Norm is there, and everything feels a little off when he's not there yet.
Exactly. I was pointing out earlier, it brought me back that he'd always say good afternoon. I forgot he always would always show up in the afternoon because there was no time at Cheers because it was obviously downstairs. It was in the basement, so you couldn't tell what it was like outside unless they talked about the weather. Just in terms of your book, obviously we're talking about George Wendt and Norm, just in terms of what you discovered going through the process of putting the book together, where did Norm stand out to you? Did you find out any interesting stories or get a better idea of what his place in that show was?
Yeah, it's really interesting because, like I alluded to earlier, a lot of times he provides some of the commentary about the main action. The A-plot, particularly in the first 5 years, is usually going to be something centered around Sam and Diane, and he's going to be there at the side offering commentary. And when we get to the Rebecca years, it becomes more of an ensemble show rather than a romantic comedy following those two characters, and everyone gets a little bit more, but he still is very much settled there as someone who can provide that observational humor about what's happening around. And so it provides a different kind of flavor to the show to have Norm present there. But he also becomes such an iconic part of the show that you'll see when there are references to Cheers and other media, a lot of times it's a reference to Norm, not some of the other characters. Even like Star Trek Deep Space Nine had an alien character that sat at the bar inside of the space station. There in almost every single episode of Deep Space Nine, never said a word, was named Morn in honor of Norm. And so it's just this little nod to, the classic writing of Cheers is even there in some sci-fi shows. And Norm is the piece that they choose to reference.
Morn, that's great. Joe, thanks so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. And I hope everyone's able to find some laughter in looking back at some clips of Norm in Cheers.
That's been the best part, as sad as we are to see him go, that's been the best part of revisiting George Wendt's incredible run on the show. Thanks again. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Joe Dorowski's book is called Cheers, A Cultural History. When we return, speaking of milestones, next month marks 50 years since the release of Jaws, a movie that instilled a fear of sharks in many generations to come. But it's also given apex predators like sharks a bad rap. So now a world-renowned endurance swimmer has hopped back in the waters around Martha's Vineyard, where the fictional movie was set, to try to raise awareness, about protecting sharks. We'll head there next to speak with him.
Is this the sound of a car being driven by an impaired driver? You don't know. The police don't know. Until this happens. At MAD Canada, we work to stop road crashes caused by impaired driving. And when tragedy strikes, we work to comfort and assist the victims. Support MAD Canada's work, because the pain never stops.
Change for the better.
MAD Canada, helping the victim, stopping the crime.
Gord Gillies here for Len T. Wong & Associates. When you're looking to buy with Len and your team, you start the search with confidence. Right from the beginning, he'll prioritize your needs. Maybe you're looking to downsize in retirement, or maybe your heart's on a starter home that's not out in the boonies. An experienced agent like Len will understand those needs, ensuring you find the home of your dreams. Len T. Wong & Associates from Greater Property Group, the city you love and the agents you trust. Call or text Len at 403-606-8888.
The government of Alberta is investing billions of dollars into new school construction. And by building 90 new schools across the province, the Alberta government will help create more classrooms and more space for kids to grow. Learn more at alberta.ca/schools now.
A message from the government of Alberta.
I'm Susan Holzman with the Calgary Children's Foundation. QR Calgary is happy to welcome Agnew Insurance, representing cooperators, as our hero of the month. Agnew Insurance is well known for their outstanding service when it comes to your insurance and financial needs. What you might not know is their dedication to their community and local charities. This month, Agnew Insurance will be making a generous donation to the Calgary Children's Foundation to help make the lives of children better in our community. Join QR Calgary as we salute Agnew Insurance as our hero of the month.
How does an idea reach millions? Chorus Creative. Video, audio, digital, whatever your idea needs, we create it. Click to choruscreative.ca. Chorus Creative.
Lux Windows was founded in 1969 with five people and a dream. 55 years later, our team of experts cares a whole lot about building and installing the best possible windows and doors. Because Lux is not just an Alberta-made product. We're one big Alberta-made family. Everything we are is windows and doors. A company born and bred and made in Alberta.
Shoppers Foundation for Women's Health is challenging us all to ask, how many women have we lost because of a late diagnosis? How many women have been overlooked because so little research funding goes to women's ask? How many women have we lost because of a late diagnosis? How many women have been overlooked because so little research funding goes to women's health? How many women have felt unseen because they can't access proper care? Maybe even you. Health inequities are harming women. It's why we're working to improve access to equitable and inclusive care. It's time to make women's health visible. Get to know the facts at shoppersfoundation.ca.
Empower your child for lifelong success. Fueling Brains Academy provides three unique learning environments and a brain-based curriculum to facilitate whole child development. Enroll now at fuelingbrains.ca.
It's finally here. The Last Show with David Cooper.
I am David Cooper with the stuff that you're thinking about but are too afraid to ask. We're talking relationships, climate anxiety, that weird thing you saw on TikTok last night, all of it. No filters, just real talk about real life. So grab your emotional support water bottle and tune in.
The Last Show.
Weeknights at 11 on QR Calgary.
Today, it's engaging talk that matters. You're listening to Conversations with Ben O'Hara Byrne.
Tell me you don't think of sharks the moment you hear that noise, and the moment you hear that theme, right? I actually went to see Jaws with my wife at IMAX last year on the big screen. They had re-released it. It is the 50th anniversary of its release coming up next month. June of 1975 is when Jaws hit screens and terrified generations and generations to come about going in the water. I remember one of the taglines, Amity Island had everything, clear skies, gentle surf, warm water. People flocked there every summer. It was the perfect feeding ground. And stuff like that was terrifying. I had an uncle I went to Florida with when I was very young. First time I'd ever been to the ocean like that. The ocean you could swim in. And he was like, you better watch out. He was sort of scanning the horizon for dorsal fins. And I think it freaked everyone out for a while. And for good reason. For good reason. Have a listen to the trailer from back 50 years ago now.
Oh.
Well, Shark, we've got a panic on our hands on the 4th of July.
Shark!
This Shark? He's got lifeless eyes, black eyes, like a doll's eyes.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Yeah, you're gonna need a bigger boat. But the line that really stands out there is the lifeless eyes, like doll's eyes. That's how many people came to view sharks as these sort of just pure predators, which of course in some senses they absolutely are, but we're actually more dangerous to them than they are to us. World-renowned endurance swimmer Lewis Pugh was just a teen when he saw Jaws, and despite conquering oceans around the world, he swam absolutely everywhere in every ocean, including under an Antarctic ice sheet. He admits he's always been a little bit afraid of sharks, no doubt in part because of having seen that movie, just like we all did. But what he fears even more is how much shark populations have been decimated around the world since Jaws was released. Not because of Jaws, but if you think about, consider this, worldwide oceanic shark and ray abundance has declined 71% since 1970. More than half of the 31 species are now considered to be endangered. So they're in trouble, and the problem, of course, is us. So what did a long-distance swimmer do, an endurance swimmer? He went to where Jaws had been set, Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, Cape Cod, and he got in some very chilly water and started swimming. He's going to swim right around the 100 kilometers around Martha's Vineyard. It's still a hot spot for great white sharks, by the way. But he's doing it, he says, to advocate for greater protection for sharks. And he hopes this 12-day swim, which is challenging even by his estimation, will help do that. He began in Edgartown Harbor, rather, on May 15th, and he's continuing that swim. He's swimming about 10K each and every day. And Lewis Pugh, UN patron of the oceans and endurance swimmer, joins me now. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Ben.
What a great idea. What a great idea to raise awareness about sharks in general, but to sort of hook it on somewhat to this 50th anniversary of a movie that I think almost everybody, whether you were around in the 70s when it came out, as I was, or weren't, you'll know of it.
Yes, I mean, it was a movie which portrayed sharks as cold-blooded villains, but we know that's just not the case. They're not out to get us. They're absolutely essential for life in our oceans. We need them, and they are threatened.
Yeah. Tell me about the decision to go and sort of revisit the waters where this all took place, fictionally, back in the day.
Well, you know, I've always wanted to do a swim to talk about sharks, and I've been waiting for the right moment. I mean, the statistics are so, so frightening. On average, 274,000 sharks are killed globally every day. I mean, just think about that. That's about 100 million per annum. It's absolute madness. And so I just thought, well, the best place to do a swim like that would be the anniversary of Jaws.
Yeah. Do you remember the movie? Tell me about when you saw it.
Yeah, well, I would have been a little boy. I would have been around about sort of 10 years old, I think, when I first saw it. And what I remember most was the music.
Yeah.
I mean, it became a blockbuster. And there's a reason why it became a blockbuster. It was so terrifying. And I suppose it preyed on our fear, didn't it?
Yeah, the fear of the unknown. I had an uncle who refused to go into the water for several years after that. We would be in Florida, and I'd be out in the ocean. He'd be scanning this horizon for fins, you know, for dorsal fins. It all got a bit crazy. But to go back there, now, I understand, even though you've swam just about anywhere anyone could imagine, including under the ice sheet in the Antarctic, that Martha's Vineyard, for all that, for that genteel name that it carries, Cape Cod, Martha's Vineyard, is actually a really, really tough swim.
It's a tough swim, and the reason is because, number one, it's cold. The water ranges at this time of year, different parts of the island, anywhere between 8 degrees centigrade and 14, which is obviously, it's cold. Number two, it's a long swim. I think this is going to take me 12 days, and then lastly, because of protection measures, because sharks, you cannot hunt big sharks here. Martha's Vineyard at Cape Cod has become a global hotspot for great white sharks. So you put all those three things together, cold, long sharks, and it becomes a tough swim physically and also mentally.
Yeah. Did anyone try to talk you out of it?
I've been doing sort of... I wouldn't say similar swims, but I've been doing tough swims since I was sort of 18 years old. So I did the first swim across the North Pole. So this would have been sort of 2007. And there the water is below zero. So it's minus 1.7. And my mother has since passed away, but I remember my mother, she was really, really supportive of me. She said, Lewis, right. if you want to do this to highlight the melting of the Arctic ice, then you must do it, but just ensure you have a lot of protection around you. And so I've always followed that sort of guidance from my mother. Mothers right. always know best.
Yeah. Mothers do always know best. So be careful, but do it. Right?
There we go. Yeah.
How has it been so far? I mean, how have you found, I gather you're having to wear a wetsuit or a dry suit, one of the two, because the water is quite cold. And as you mentioned, we do lots of stories now in Canada as well, because there have been many more great white sightings sort of north of where you are, but on the Canadian side of the Atlantic. But there's just, there are a population on the rise in those waters these days.
Yeah, no, I don't wear a wetsuit or a dry suit. So even the swim across the North Pole, the swim's done in Antarctica, I've never worn a wetsuit. So because I'm asking world leaders to be courageous, to make really tough decisions right now to protect the environment. I never thought that swimming in a wetsuit or a dry suit would send the right message.
I get you. Yeah, there's a certain sacrifice. I suppose there's a certain symbolism to swimming as is in that cold water.
It's a big difference between taking a risk and taking a gamble.
Right.
Swimming in the very, very cold water is, I mean, it's certainly if you're in the polar regions, it's risky. But, I'm not into gambling. I'm not a daredevil. I'm doing this to try and convey a message.
Yeah, I understand that you, I mean, you've admitted this in other interviews about this journey, that you are a little bit afraid of sharks. I mean, as you pointed out, you're not a daredevil, so you'd have to look at the calculated risks of this and think, I hope not to bump into one. A bit like not bumping into a polar bear if you're trekking across the Arctic, right?
Yes, I think I'm completely normal. I think most wouldn't want to be swimming anywhere near a great white shark, but I'm far more terrified of a world without sharks. If I could perhaps give you an African example, a terrestrial example, imagine if you would kill all the lions in Africa. Well, then the gazelle are going to multiply and the zebra are going to multiply and all the other animals, the grazers and the browsers are going to multiply. They'll eat all the grass, eat all the vegetation, and soon you'll have an ecological collapse. It's exactly the same if you kill all the sharks. You will just have a watery desert.
Yeah, we forget sometimes because obviously they're apex predators, and we're more afraid of them than they are. We're far more dangerous to them than they are to us. But we do portray them as sort of these apex predators that would be, the ocean would be better off without them, for instance, right? And as you point out numerous times, if in fact they are a sort of an integral part of the ecosystem that you so love.
Yes, I think we need to do a few things. Number one, we need to educate the public. I mean, these are incredible animals that they have been around since before the dinosaur. These animals have survived 5 mass extinctions. They're absolutely incredible. We need to educate the public about them, about how important they are. Number two, I think there's a need for respect. They're so important. We need to respect life. And then lastly, we need to protect them. All over the world, we need to really focus on protecting sharks. We protect apex predators. It's a really, it's a good step forward to having a healthy ocean.
Yeah. Lewis Pugh is with us this half hour. He is UN Patron of the Oceans. He is in the midst of a 12-day swim. We think it's going to take 12 days, about 10 kilometers a day, right around Martha's Vineyard in Cape Cod. And there's a reason for it. We're approaching the 50th anniversary of the release of Jaws, perhaps the movie that most changed people's attitudes towards anything in the seas over time, and made many people, obviously, leery at best, fearsome at worst, of sharks in the water. And he's trying to raise awareness 50 years later about the importance of sharks and the struggles that they find themselves under because of fish overfishing and so on. Essentially, they're being preyed upon by us, and we prey upon them much more than they prey upon us, despite what movies like Jaws would have you believe. So he set out on this endurance swim. He's an endurance swimmer around Martha's Vineyard to try to raise awareness right around the world about the need to protect sharks, and also just to remind people how much the psychology of that movie still plays in our attitudes towards specifically great whites, but sharks in general. We'll talk a bit more about his journey after this. Don't go away.
This week on Model Makeover, we take the old Tiguan and upgrade it with more horsepower, more towing capacity, and accessorize the new model with cutting-edge tech and premium finishes.
Didn't expect a makeover show-style commercial for a car ad? Find more than what you're expecting at Fifth Avenue Volkswagen, where the redesigned 2025 Tiguans have arrived. Fifth Avenue Volkswagen, just off Barlow. Online at fifthavvw.com.
Simply stunning.
Okay, so you want to know what makes Stack TV so special? Is it the stars? The buzzworthy shows? Iconic reality programs? Yes! And because every single day, we add new entertainment for you to enjoy. Stream on Monday and watch new episodes of The Day of the Jackal with Eddie Redmayne. Tune in on Wednesday and get hooked on Based on a True Story with Kaley Cuoco. Binging on Friday? Why not stream Rick and Morty with, well, Rick and Morty? Now that's special. Stack TV has new shows streaming every day. Try it free. Applicable membership required. Restrictions apply.
Okay, we're talking mortgages with Jason Hominick from Jason.Mortgage. My question, Jason, is if I don't have a regular 9-to-5 job, can I still get a mortgage?
There is nothing you can do, Sarah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, look, I've been doing this for 30 years. I deal with 100 different lenders. If there's a way to make it happen, we can do it. Self-employed, bad credit, we've got options.
I love it. Go to Jason.Mortgage for all the information.
Measles outbreaks are occurring in Canada, including Alberta. These outbreaks are highly preventable. Measles is an extremely contagious disease that is spread easily through the air. The best way to protect yourself, your family, and your community is to ensure you are up to date with your immunizations. Don't get measles. Get immunized. Visit alberta.ca/measles to find out if you're up to date and what to do if you're not. A message from the Government of Alberta.
Hey, Dad, did you know when a village comes together, we can do amazing things?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like helping families have a safe place to stay and letting kids like me just be kids.
What do you mean?
I'm talking about In From the Cold. We learned about it at school. They're matching donations until June 8th.
Sounds like you've been doing your homework.
Maybe a little. We should donate.
You're a pretty smart kid. You know that?
Yeah. I know. So can we? I've got allowance money.
All right, let's do it.
A village can open doors for families facing homelessness. Visit avillagecan.ca to donate today.
Calling all Canadian employers. Be entered for a chance to win $1,000 by completing a brief online survey. First Peoples Development Inc.'s Labor Market Information Project, funded by Employment and Social Development Canada, would also like to send you a $50 gift card for completing the survey. The survey collects information on your business profile, past hiring activity, and future hiring. Learn more about programs and initiatives and take the employer survey at fpdinc.ca.
Is this the sound of a car being driven by an impaired driver? You don't know. The police don't know. Until this happens. At MAD Canada, we work to stop road crashes caused by impaired driving. And when tragedy strikes, we work to comfort and assist the victims. Support MAD Canada's work, because the pain never stops.
Change for the better.
MAD Canada, helping the victim, stopping the crime.
Turn your hockey nights into the ultimate hockey getaway with QR Calgary and Deerfoot Inn and Casino. Entry is easy. Watch the playoffs at the Wild Horse Pub Island Bar or Cactus Lounge inside the Deerfoot Inn and Casino and fill out the ballot. The more you join, the better your chances are at this once-in-a-lifetime grand prize. Two tickets to a Stanley Cup final game, travel to the host city, hotel accommodations, and $500 spending cash. The lucky winner will be selected at the end of the third round of the playoffs. Brought to you by the Deerfoot Inn and Casino and QR Calgary.
Trouble, blood is in the rocky waters. Hide away your sons and daughters, eat you alive. Levels, better put your head on swivels. Dancing with the very devil, butter tonight.
You're listening to Conversations with Ben O'Hara Byrne.
Lewis Pugh is a UN patron of the oceans, an endurance swimmer. He's in the midst of an endurance swim around Martha's Vineyard, Cape Cod. That's, of course, where Jaws was set back when it was released 50 years ago. This spring, Jaws came out in 1975 and basically rewrote the book about horror films and suspense and so on. It also gave people an awful fear of sharks, including many people in my family. So Lewis, ultimately, I guess what you'd like to do with this one, because when I think about Jaws, you're right, here we are 50 years later, and if you ask people about sharks, it's one of the first things they'll talk about, this idea of the dead eye. I remember the captain in Jaws describing the dead eyes of the predator and so on, and you think, yeah, these are like killing machines, but as you point out, you know, there's much more to them than that. What would you like to see done then, as people are paying attention to this swim of yours?
Three things. We need to really educate everybody about how important they are. Number two, we need to protect. And number three, respect. I think if we do those three things, their future will be secure. Those are the three most important things. Educate, yeah. Protect, respect.
I mean, you obviously spent lots of time in South Africa. If you watch Shark Week on National Geographic, half of it's set near Cape Town, right? Do you think that gives you, is there a different view of sharks there than there is in America, mainly because of sort of the where the movie was set and how much that sort of was boiled into the American psyche or the North American psyche?
I think that's a really good question. So I trained on a beach called Fishhook in Cape Town, and we had three shark attacks in a fairly short period of time. And on the swimming community, people just wouldn't get into the water.
Right.
And we learned in Cape Town at this beach called Fishhook that we had to learn to live in peace with sharks. And so not only do we have lifeguards, but there's a little mountain nearby. And on the mountainside, we have shark guards who are out there all day long with flags and with whistles. And if a shark swims into the bay, everybody gets out. And then when the shark swims out, everybody gets in. And we've learned how to live in peace with sharks, because we realize that our future depends on sharks, because we need a healthy ocean and they're essential for it.
Yeah, that's such a good point, because we often talk about, for instance, in Canada, we talk about bears and so on. We always say, of course, you know, we're visiting their land, we're visiting their home. And when you're in the water, you're obviously, you're in the shark's domain, not in your own, not the other way around.
Yeah, absolutely. The ocean is their home. They belong there. There's such a joy in seeing these magnificent animals. Yeah. And it's great news when you do see a great white shark, because it shows that you have a healthy ocean. The most frightening sight is doing a swim in parts of the Mediterranean where you just don't see fish these days, or big fish. They've all, you know, there's been so much overfishing there now. So on the east coast of the United States, especially around Cape Cod, when you see great whites and you see all the seals, I was swimming about 3 days ago, and there were loads and loads of seals popping up and looking at me and thinking, who on earth is this? That's a wonderful sight. That's what oceans should be like, healthy and bountiful, with everything from big predator species like great white sharks all the way down to the smallest little fish.
Yeah, where I am, we have orcas, right? Resident orcas and transient orcas as well. And I remember the first time I ever saw a reef shark. I've never seen anything bigger than a reef shark, I don't think, scuba diving, and just how fast they are. They are just, I mean, if you're just used to watching fish move, sharks move at sort of twice that speed, and it's or faster. It was pretty remarkable to see.
Yes, I was doing a swim once around the Cape of Good Hope at the bottom of South Africa, and there were four of us swimming around the Cape that day. And as we were, and the water is fairly turbulent there. And occasionally you have these bait balls, so loads and loads of small right. fish moving around. And suddenly underneath us, and it was like a torpedo, a great white shark just came. And I've never seen anything move so quickly underneath us, right the way across us. All of us put our heads up, and all of us said the exact same word and put our heads down very quickly, you know. I don't think I need to tell you what we all said, but it was the exact same word.
Yeah, it rhymes with tuck, I can imagine. Yeah,
there we go.
There we go. I've always been really, there's sharks I'd love to see, obviously, in certain circumstances. But, you know, you must have some incredible, I've never seen a hammerhead. I hear they're beautiful as well.
So I did a swim a few years ago across the Red Sea, so from Saudi Arabia all the way across to Hurghada. And on that swim, an oceanic white tip came towards us. I mean, these are unbelievably beautiful animals. They really are. I was the first one to get out of the water. And I remember standing on the boat and watching this beautiful animal swim a few times around the boat and then just slowly disappear down into the deep, deep, deep blue. And then the pilot of the boat said, "Okay, Lewis, you can get in now and carry on your swim." And far more difficult getting back in than getting out. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I admire your courage amongst all other things. Good luck on this swim. It's a great cause. And thank you so much for taking time to talk about it.
Oh, Ben, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Lewis Pugh is an endurance swimmer, a UN patron of the oceans, and he's in the midst of swimming around Martha's Vineyard. It's about 100K. It's rough water. It's cold. As he mentioned, he doesn't wear a wetsuit or a dry suit. He just goes in his trunks. And of course, it's shark infested because there's been some protection measures over the years and the great whites have returned to that area. Of course, that was made famous. That area was made famous because that's where Amity Island, fictional Amity Island, is the scene of Jaws, which was released on June 20th, 1975. So we're approaching the 50th anniversary of the release of Jaws. So to raise awareness about the threat to sharks, not from sharks, the threat to sharks, Lewis Pugh is making this swim around Martha's Vineyard. And of course, it'll be, obviously, we'll be talking more about the 50th anniversary of the movie, but this is for a good cause, to better protect sharks from their most fearsome predator, which of course happens to be us. When we return, we'll head to New York City for day 8 of the high profile sex trafficking and racketeering trial of Sean Diddy Combs to learn more about the police raid, that infamous police raid last year that kicked off this whole case, and about what we've learned so far, and a star witness set to take the stand on Thursday. That's all coming up.
1500 flex plus Ford loyalty, 2.5% low kilometer 5-year lease plus tax OEC, maintenance included till 2027.
Marty for Star Ford, Escape all-wheel drive, $57 a week. $8 a day. Escape all-wheel drive, $57 a week. You pay 7 days a week for a vehicle, really. Service should be available 7 days a week, right? Northstar Ford's Escape all-wheel drives at $57 a week includes 7 day a week service, and we come to you and we don't charge. Ask our competition if they can do that. Contact Northstar Ford to book your appointment. Offer ends May 30th.
Remember that email you sent to your manager this morning?
Yeah, still no reply.
Meanwhile, at Mr. Lube Plus Tires, you're already in, out, and back on the road. No appointment, no waiting. Done before your boss can even type,
"Just circling back."
Oil changes, tires, and more. Fast, friendly, appointment free, and always on your schedule. Mr. Lube Plus Tires is open 8 to 8, 7 days a week. So while your inbox ghosts you, we get it done. Rediscover Mr. Lube Plus Tires. Ready when you are.
Doesn't that sound lovely?
I don't hear anything.
You can't hear the birds over there? Maybe it's time to visit Calgary Hearing Aid and Audiology. With my new hearing aids, I'm hearing sounds I didn't realize I was missing.
You wear hearing aids? I didn't even notice.
I know. I always forget I'm wearing them too.
Spring for better hearing with Calgary Hearing Aid and Audiology. Book a hearing test now and they'll make you feel comfortable and taken care of. Book today at calgaryhearingaid.ca.
At Mountain View Sun Decks, beautiful low-maintenance sun decks are just the beginning. They're also experts in stairs, railings, gates, patios, privacy walls, pergolas, and benches. From design to completion, you can trust this 20-year locally owned family business to build the ultimate outdoor space for you.
No deposit is required, and you don't pay until the job is done.
See their dream decks at mountainviewsundecks.com and call for a quote today.
The highest standards of broadcasting. It's what we strive for every minute of the day. To live up to your expectations is our goal, our obligation. And as members of the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council, our promise is to be accountable to you, our listeners. Have a comment to make about our programming? Visit cbsc.ca to find information on the council and its codes. A message from the Canadian Association of Broadcasters and QR Calgary.
Come on in to Home Network.
Welcome home!
And find experts who feel like family.
This is spectacular. I was not expecting this.
Ideas to inspire your everyday.
Brilliant. Beautiful.
And stories that will touch your heart.
Oh my God!
I love that big family hug.
There's no place like it. Welcome to Home Network. Stream on Stack TV. Brought to you by Color Spark Paint. It starts with a spark.
Heading to the airport soon? Take the pain out of airport parking with Park2Go, offering hassle-free valet parking. Park2Go is your first-class airport parking experience. You can also have your vehicle detailed and serviced while you're away. And for some reason your car won't start? They'll even give your vehicle a free boost to get you on your way. Visit park2go.ca and save 15% on parking by using promo code RADIO.
This is the most delicious staycation in the city. QR Calgary and the Dorian Hotel have your chance to win a VIP Le Petite Staycation, an amazing prize that includes one-night hotel accommodation for two adults and two kids at the Dorian Hotel, plus a Le Petite Chef dining experience at their Bistro Nouvelle restaurant, a one-of-a-kind animated 3D dining experience that is sure to entertain. Enter online at qrcalgary.com. The VIP Le Petite Staycation, brought to you by the Dorian Hotel and QR Calgary.
QR Calgary is 770 CHQR AM, a Chorus Entertainment radio station.
This is Global News. I'm Joshua Azizi. The federal conservatives say they will cooperate with the liberals to end the U.S. trade dispute.
Leader Pierre Poilievre met with the conservative caucus on Sunday as they prepare to return to the House of Commons without him in the chamber. Poilievre said he's told Prime Minister Mark Carney that the conservatives are ready to work with the liberals to bring an end to tariffs imposed by the United States. Now, despite showing some cooperation, Poilievre went on to accuse Carney of putting his elbows down when it came to opening exemptions for some counter-tariffs levied against the U.S. Cooperation on any front would mark a departure from the Conservatives' relationship with the previous Liberal government led by former Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. David Augustine, The Canadian Press.
Meanwhile, the Liberal Party caucus has voted against adopting the Reform Act, which would create a formal process for MPs to eject their party leader if the need to do so arises in the future. Parliament resumes on Monday. King Charles will read the throne speech Tuesday. President Donald Trump says the U.S. will delay implementation of a 50% tariff on goods from the European Union to buy time. From the European Union to buy time for negotiations with the bloc. Trump says the agreement came after a call Sunday with Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the European Commission.
We had a very nice call and I agreed to move it. I believe July 9th would be the date. That was the date she requested. Could we move it from June 1st to July 9th? And I agreed to do that. And that she said we will rapidly get together and see if we can work something out.
Trump had threatened to impose the tariff on EU goods in a social media post on Friday.